Well, this morning we're continuing our series of Knowing Jesus, and I hope you're really excited to get to know Jesus more, not just in an informational kind of way, but in a relational kind of way, a real way of just like, wow, spending time with my Lord and Savior and getting to know Him in an intimate kind of way. And today's message I entitled, Knowing Jesus in Community, and then after that I said, it takes humility. It takes humility. I think we probably can all agree. It's so beautiful when you look at Jesus, especially when you look at scripture from bookend to bookend and in the middle, to see how great and powerful our God is. I was just thinking about how we often think of Jesus as the one who came and served and gives example of humility. And we're going to look at that this morning a little bit more. But He's also the Creator and He's also King. So sometimes when we look at one piece, it's great to remember how great and awesome He is. Some verses I was thinking about this week when it came to Jesus as Creator was in Psalm 33:6. It says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts." So literally, it's just talking about how powerful God is, that literally He just talked the stars, the galaxies, the creation into existence just by talking. I mean, that's pretty powerful. I can talk a lot, and I hope it's edifying, but I know sometimes it's not. But I definitely cannot produce stars or planets just by speaking them into existence, but our God can and does. Genesis 1:27 talks about the greatest piece of the creation, Jesus Creator, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The greatest piece is the people. So even though I see these beautiful stars and these galaxies all over the place, the greatest thing is actually people, you and I, us, together. And in Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." This is like the hallmark of God's creation. I love looking at the stars. I love looking at and learning more about different planets or solar systems or black holes or whatever, and just seeing how big and how much we think is going on and how little we actually know, because our God is just that big. But the pinnacle of creation is people. God values people so much, from when He creates a child in a mother's womb to when they're just a young child to a toddler, and when now they're in middle school or high school and college. As they get older, get to midlife or get to more, maybe the older part of life or near end life, God values people and every single person on the planet that God values. And we're going to revisit this in a moment, but it's very important that as we think of Jesus and knowing Him, that we would love the things that Jesus loves, right? That we would care for the things that God cares for, that we would value the things that God calls valuable. So Jesus is the Creator. In a moment, we're going to talk about Jesus as servant. But before we get there, we're going to go from the front part of the Bible, Genesis, all the way to the end, to Revelations. This is the last book in the Bible. And you see, as a great reminder, you'll see it elsewhere in the Bible, but Jesus is King. In Revelations 5:13 and 19, you get this picture of Jesus just being worshipped and glorified on the throne and to the Lamb. And it's amazing. But in Revelations, it says this. It says, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And this is the four living creatures say, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worship. If you read Revelations 4, you just see that they do this all the time. It's unending praise and worship. And I want to start off with these kind of big themes for a moment before we look at Philippians chapter 2. To realize that when we approach Jesus, He's the Creator. He's not like just some genie that's hoping that He'll just answer your requests or some codependent in the sky. He's actually the Creator of everything and of you, which is just like, wow, Lord, if my prayers and my life doesn't reflect that You're in control and I'm not supposed to be, forgive me, Lord. But not is He only the Creator, He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I was reading this just earlier this week, and I found that, Lord, I don't think I approach You with enough reverence, respect, awe, and fear. I think I get a little too casual sometimes, realizing in heaven, they bow down and worship You all the time out of love and reverence. Does my life, does our life look like this? So now you got this Creator and you got this King who loves people, and the people rebel, if you look in the Bible, against Him and start living their own ways, and sin just comes in Genesis, impacts the whole world. But because it's the Creator and the King, but also a loving Father, He comes and sends Jesus Himself to come and to die for our sins. So the Creator, instead of destroying the creation that rebels, seeks to redeem the creation that they might be able to live and glorify Him forever. And so we're going to look at that piece where now the Creator is now coming in as a servant with great humility. The King, who doesn't actually need to come in as a servant, chooses to come into a servant to come serve us. And that blows my mind that the Creator that makes planets would come and serve you and me. Wow. Just try to take that in. The Creator of the universe came to serve us, people. So let's look at our main text today. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. As we're knowing Jesus, we want to know the fullness of Christ. And we're knowing Jesus in community. It takes a whole lot of humility. So Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. The Apostle Paul says this to the church at Philippi. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, or other translations will say one purpose. Do nothing. I'm going to say it again, but do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. We could just stop the whole service and just pause on that and close in prayer. I really think it's right to apply that. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. I know when I read that, I'm like, Lord, there are places in my heart I need to grow and ask for forgiveness. But do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And we'll be revisiting this kind of as like the main piece. But do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Woo! Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Just going to pause for a moment. There's something about the name of Jesus, right? The name of Jesus is so powerful. The name above every other name. And let's see what happens here. So in verse 10 it says, so that at the name of Jesus, gotta love this name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word as we're reading in Philippians. God, there's a lot in there. And just reading it, it's like, whoa. God, we want to look more like you. Help us, Lord, to look more like you, because I know we can't do it on our own. But you promised to give us the strength. So, God, would you speak to us? Lord, we're talking about love in action. God, would we put humility in action today? Lord, show us, God, the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Well, there's a lot in there. So we're going to look at a couple things this morning as we look through this passage. So the first piece on it, Paul is sharing in verses 1 to 2 about having any encouragement. And he's giving us, there's any encouragement in his love, any compassion, sympathy with being with Jesus and being like-minded. This whole idea that as you spend time with God, as you get to know Jesus, that's the whole series, right? Knowing Jesus. So we get to know him in a real way and experience his tremendous love, his compassion, his sympathy, that we want to just know about it, but that we'd actually be like Jesus and that we'd be ones that would be filled with love, compassion, and sympathy. And so as we're starting looking at this passage now, we can take a moment to pause. Because what does it look like in our lives? Is our lives marked as individuals who know God's love, compassion, and sympathy? Or do we find there to be like a void, like a place that's missing in our life, that my life's not filled a lot with love and sympathy and compassion towards others? This is a good place to pause. In John 15, it talks about the vine and the branches, and that those who abide in Jesus will bear good fruit. Sometimes when we see a lack in our life, we assume we need to work harder, right? I'm not loving my spouse the way I should, or my kids, or my parents, or my coworkers, maybe your roommate, person you happen to see at a store, and you realize maybe I just need to work harder to love better. We're realizing that if the fruit of knowing Jesus just comes from being with Jesus, we don't need to work harder. We just need to spend more time with Jesus. We need to allow Jesus to work in us and through us. So you're finding right now, it's like, what's the love, you know, kind of meter when it comes to caring for others, having compassion or sympathy? If you find it being low, don't fall into the work kind of thing. I need to work better at this. May this be a realization, Lord, I need to spend more time with you. Because as we know, the answer is, if there's any encouragement or whatever, the answer is yes. If we spend time with Jesus, we'll look more like Jesus. Others will see Christ in you, and God will get more glory. So that's the first part we want to look at. But Paul continues in verses 3 to 4. He talks about not just looking at your own interests, but looking at the interests of others. And to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, or you could use the word pride if you want. This is super convicting. Because all of us, if we have to be honest, struggle in some place of doing things from selfish ambition or conceit or pride, if we have to be honest. We can even do the right things, but with the wrong heart, with the wrong attitude. It's possible to clean all the dishes in the kitchen, right? But to do it with a heart of pride. You know how I know this? Because I've done this before. This is the classic, right? I'm doing all the dishes, getting the pots and pans. Then my wife, Crystal, is probably watching this. And then I'm like, usually, Crystal, did you see what I did? I did the dishes and the pots and pans. I do a little dance, you know, a little jig or something. And it's like, yes, what I did was good. But the motive of it was really like, hey, I did something. All the attention pointed to Jim. I couldn't just have humbly served without getting any of the recognition. Now, the ironic part is my wife does the dishes and the pots and pans a lot. But she doesn't do a parade afterwards. That's convicting. She just does it with humility, right? And I'm thinking, Lord, how can I do that? I don't need to do a dance after doing the dishes. I know I can be kind of a funny example, but how oftentimes can we do that, to be honest? We tell a story so people will look at us, right? We do a certain action so that people will praise us. That's pride. It's conceit. It's selfish ambition. Even if it's the right thing done the wrong way. So Paul's writing the church at Philippi not to do anything from an engine of pride or conceit or selfish ambition, but to do it from an engine of humility, which points to others, to encourage others, and ultimately points to Jesus, right? So maybe my story could have gone differently. Maybe someone was watching me do the dishes. Jim, why are you doing the dishes? Instead of being like, I'm just a fantastic husband. I nailed it this week. This one time, right? Maybe I could have been, hey, you know what? I just want to look for opportunities to serve. I want opportunities to glorify God. I just want to be humbly following after him. Oftentimes, if we're not careful in spending time with Jesus, that's the first step, spend time with Jesus. Because if we're not kneeling before our Father in heaven, it's very difficult, nay, impossible, to serve others from a heart of humility. So Paul will go on to share exactly what that humility looks like looking at Jesus. But before we get there, I read a story in the newspaper, and I saw it on Facebook. A lot of you have probably already seen it, and I talked to the person's spouse to see if it's okay I could share this on Church Online. They said it was fine. But recently, this idea of looking to count and value somebody else's. So you're doing life, and then you count the interests of others as more valuable than yourself. And the example I just kept seeing on social media and the North Country Now was this example of an individual who was at BJ's, and some of you probably have already heard about this. It's a super encouraging story. Reminds me of Jesus. But Laurel, who runs our snack pack program, was buying about $400 worth of food to help supplement and help support children on the weekend. And for those who are not aware of this, the snack pack program, it packs here with people in the community and the church on Tuesdays. And I believe the number is right around 290 to 300 or so children at the local elementary, middle school, and high school right here in Potsdam, receive these snack packs. It's a fantastic group, and it's a fantastic need that's being met. So thankful for Laurel. So she was at BJ's buying a big purchase of $400, and then this gentleman behind her saw that she's buying all this stuff at BJ's and was like, what are you getting? What are you buying? And she explained what she was doing. And this person decided to go and say, and count the value, right, of someone else, considering it more valuable to look at someone else's interest, went and paid for the entire food for the children. So all $400. So this person was buying their own stuff and decided, I'm going to pay for everything. And when I heard this, I just thought, oh, here's the picture right over. Let's see if I can move over so you can see. Yeah. So some of you might know who this individual is. And the news article, it does mention his name, so I'll mention it. But this is Bayless Lee right over here, who was in BJ's. And he just had this heart of Christ to want to go and count the value of other interests and in a practical way, pay for all the food. So I just thought it was absolutely fantastic as a neat example of he had no plan to do this ahead of time. Like, oh, I'm going to see Laurel. He happened to be there, and he took the opportunity as the Lord led him to value the interest of others. Now, that for some is like, well, that's a really big, grand way. Maybe not all of us have $400 to do something like that. But the idea of living from humility, that we would even count and value others like Jesus does. Now, I mentioned earlier when I started this message, I did this intentionally, and we're talking about Jesus the Creator, that he made men and women in his image, and that he values people all across the planet, that because God values people, if we're truly following after Jesus, then we must value what he values. And so to devalue, to not serve what the Creator has made as something good, is to not serve Christ. Another way of saying this that Jesus said, and a lot of us know this, we're to love God with everything we are, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's this idea of not just looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Now, in a church body, this was given to the Christians at Philippi, this idea of knowing Jesus in community, he's hitting on it. It takes humility. It takes humility right now, church, right? Because there are so many polarizing positions on everything, right? There just is. It takes humility to have discussions with others when you have polarizing positions. And I'm so thankful we have a very diverse church with a lot of different thoughts and opinions on different things. But if you're going to have discussions with other people about political positions, boy, you got to be armed with a lot of humility, amen, to have those discussions. Or maybe I know there's folks that have different opinions on mask or mask opening or mask wearing or church clothes, church opening or vaccinations or no vaccinations or theological things. Or just, there's so many different kind of things in nature that sometimes if we're not armed with humility, we can so easily be motivated from the engine of selfish ambition or conceit, not valuing the other person the way Christ does. But as Christ followers, we're called to value. So the more heated a discussion or the more heated an argument, the more desperation we need to get and kneel before our Father in heaven and be in prayer that, Lord, would I look more like Jesus than like me during this conversation, right? Because when things get heated, we oftentimes don't default to humility. At least I don't. I don't know, maybe you can. But I know I need to go to prayer. I need to ask Jesus, Lord, could you help me? God, I'm finding myself want to act this way, which really provokes Jim and his position and his ideas. But Lord, help me to value the other person and to listen. And maybe you don't come to agreement. Maybe it's one of those tensions you just don't come to agreement to. But the idea of moving in humility, that would be so clear that, hey, however that discussion went or that conversation, that, man, Christ was glorified. I remember hearing a story about Billy Graham. And for those who don't know Billy Graham, he loved sharing Jesus all over the globe. Incredible evangelist. I just love sharing the gospel. But one time, I believe it was England, I'm going to say, he was invited for an interview. And so he went to the interview, and he was going there, and it was supposed to be just a casual interview. He's doing some big public speaking and sharing Jesus in some huge forums. And so there was supposed to be an interview. But the interview actually wasn't an interview. It was actually a setup. Because when Billy Graham came there, instead of there being like a news anchor that's want to ask him questions about Jesus, it was actually three atheists who decided to kind of bombard him with all these very tricky questions on the spot with no preparation. So Billy Graham was taken back. He was just kind of like, okay, like what's going on, you know, whatever. He wasn't prepared for this. He thought it was just going to be an interview. So in this debate, Billy Graham did not do well at. It was a 3-on-1, and he had no clues. He was blindsided, really. Well, the newspaper the next day says Billy Graham had lost the debate that he didn't know about, but had won the heart of the nation because he responded with such humility and with such love, people could so clearly see Christ in him. Let's take a moment. When people look at you and me, do they see Christ's humility in us and through us? Or does it look like our own agenda, our own purposes? Paul gives this example of looking at Jesus, the one who came, who died on the cross, and it says he has humility that was obedient to death. Are we moving in humility that would be even wanting to die for someone else? In Romans 12, it talks about being sacrifices, being a daily sacrifice for Jesus. The whole idea that we'd be, oh, there we go, living sacrifices for Christ. The idea that we would daily die to ourselves. I love how Paul takes it right to the cross when it comes to humility, because unless we daily take up our cross and die, there's no way we can serve other people from true humility and service. But when we die to ourselves, Christ can be elevated. It's so neat. I think the Holy Spirit gave Danny this verse. But when Danny gave me the verse from John 30 and then verse 3 last night, this was John the Baptist saying, Christ must increase and I must decrease. That's a choice we can make daily. Lord, would you increase and may I decrease? May I make room for people to see Jesus in me? And the whole goal is that people would glorify our Heavenly Father, Christ Jesus. Before I get to some reflection questions, we'll be wrapping up. I was reading some bits from Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermon, actually, talking about service. It says, on February 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his last sermon at Ebenezer Baptist Church, titled The Drum Major Instinct. The sermon was inspired by Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Whoever wants to be the greatest among you must be your servant. And Dr. King wrote this: if you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. And this morning, the thing that I like about it, by giving that definition of greatness, is it means that everybody can be great because everyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato or Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know about Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. Thank God for that, right? You don't have to know about the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be the servant. So we wrap up a couple of questions. It talks about having humility. We want to know Jesus in community. When Jesus comes back for his church, he's not coming back for an individual. He's actually coming back for his bride, which is the whole church, the global church. It's not just one person. But in order to function, when we have so many different thoughts and personalities and desires and opinions and all these things, we desperately need the humility of Christ. And so we're going to take a moment to pause and just to be with Jesus. And I know if we have to be honest, all of us, myself included, have ways we can grow in humility like Jesus. So let's take a moment to listen to the Holy Spirit. Invite him. Have an honest conversation of, God, is there anything within me that does not align with you? Is there any way I'm treating people that's out of selfish ambition and conceit? Lord, when I go to the store, am I so concerned about my own agenda that I would not even stop to serve someone else? Lord, forgive me. So let's take a moment just to be real. If you realize there's things that are off, ask for forgiveness. Christ says he'll forgive you and cleanse you and wash you and make you as white as snow if you'll ask him. So take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are the ultimate example of humility and service. And God, as we take a moment just to pause, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Speak to me, Lord. God, show us ways that you want us to grow, like a good coach. You're saying that's a weak area. There's a lot of pride and selfish ambition there. I want you to be running off of humility, full of grace, full of love for others and to glorify God. So let's just take a moment to be quiet. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you created all, but you came to serve. God, forgive me for myself when I give excuses for why I don't want to serve. And yet you left heaven to be be with us, to live, to die for my sin, for our sins. God, forgive us for the ways that we've been prideful and have elevated self and our interests and our kingdom above your interests and your kingdom. God, may we as individuals humbly serve you and others. God, for those who are married, may marriages be marked by the humility of Christ towards one another. God, for those who have children, may families be marked by humility for one another, for the children for the parents. And God, I pray for this church right here, New Hope Community Church, that we would be marked by humility, love, and your grace, God. God, that we could build each other up, care well for each other. But oh boy, Lord, that when we go out this week and we're out in community and in places of employment or hanging out with friends, that we would look for opportunities not to be served, but to serve, so that you receive more glory and honor and praise as it is in heaven, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.